Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Sex Podcast, a show that examines all aspects of sexuality, from physical to emotional to spiritual. Join our hosts as they discuss age-old questions, common misconceptions, and the latest topics surrounding sex. They'll tackle topics about sexuality from the complicated to the hilarious and everything in between. GSMC Sex Podcast is your show for all of your questions about sex, even some you might not have thought of yet.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast, and I'm your host, John Johnson. This podcast, I'm going to talk about sex conversations. How do you have them? When do you have them? Why do you have them? Where do you have them? So the whole topic of sex has always captured our interest, and it's a subject that you're going to be talking to your significant other about. You may talk about it casually, but in this podcast, I'm going to talk about how you have this conversation with someone you are in relationship to, that it be your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, something, somebody of a significant order on that magnitude, because in the experience of it, if you're fairly new to having deep, intimate conversations, or it's not something that you're really, really comfortable with, this is one of those topics where a lot of people can imagine that it gets graphic. And when you're used to porn, but have to take that and make it real life, what's to take away from those movies and things that you can really sink your teeth into and utilize? Well, having a conversation about sex falls into one of two places. One, it's so awkward that you stammer, you trip over your words, or in the case of a lot of people, it could be something that they get very graphic with and use a lot of vulgarities or profanities, a lot of slang. And I mean, not to say that being clinical about it, talking about it with a bunch of medical words, is going to make it easier, obviously, for somebody who's a medical professional. It's how they stay professional about the subject. Or if you're talking with a sex therapist or somebody on that level, they have a very easy way of talking about these subjects. But when you're not of that level of conversation, but you just want to talk about what's going on for you, how do you have this conversation? Well, one of the things that I want to point out is you can have the conversation pretty much anytime you feel like it, but we want to frame this when I say anytime. So it's to say that if you are having issues in your sex life, and let's say it's good and you want to communicate that. See, that's a good win. You want to say it whenever you feel the need to do it. But let's just say that there's a problem. You want to address it when it's something, when it's bothering you, and not just let this thing sit and fester. Because typically, because we are so sensitive about lovemaking and feeling good and the whole components that make it special, that when something is just a bit off, it can make us really nervous. We wonder, is something going wrong? Is something happening? Is somebody not feeling well? Are you mad at me? You know, these kinds of things. So if you are feeling something like that yourself, that is a reason to want to have a conversation about it. So when? And the whens happen to be not just when you're feeling bad, but I'm talking about what time of the day when. It's, I would say, preface a conversation about something like this with the subject. You let your significant other know, your lover know, that, hey, look, I want to have a conversation about our sex. And reassure them that this conversation doesn't mean that we're going to break up or something like that. Because if this is something that comes out of the blue, not something that they're really used to talking about with you in this sort of way, then it kind of gives people a little nervousness. And you want to put that aside, because as a person who's going to be listening to this conversation, you worry about what did I do wrong? I mean, that's human nature. When somebody brings something to us like that, we wonder, okay, what did we do wrong? Because remember in the other example, I said the win, as if it's really good and you feel good about it, that's easy to come out with. You could say that at any time. But when you're setting somebody up because you want to have a conversation, it makes people worry. So you can kind of make them feel less anxiety about the topic. If you say, hey, we're good. I just wanted to talk about a couple things and we can go on from there. A place to talk about this kind of thing, it could be while you're in the car going somewhere you're kind of a captive audience there because it's just the two of you. You certainly want to have your private moment so that you can have the conversation. You don't want a lot of distractions or a lot of interruptions because those tend to break the flow. And if the person you're talking to has questions that they want to ask, they want to be able to do that at a time in the conversation where they can get their question in, get it answered, and not interrupt you while you're explaining. Now, you don't want to go into these long dissertations about things because usually it doesn't take that unless there is a history here that you're wanting to do a little recap and, you know, sprinkle a little bit of praise on that, because then you've got a captive audience who feels like not only do they have something at stake in this, but that they're not all bad. Because remember that anxiety part of this, which really makes people sort of feel nervous about this and that they're just a bad kid and you know, they're going to want to run. They're not going to want to have this conversation because they're going to feel sometimes that they can't do anything right. So I'm putting that out there for the person who's bringing the conversation up. Think not only about yourself, but think about your partner, the person who's going to be listening to you bring the concerns to the table. Because what happens in a lot of these situations is when there's discomfort around this, then they tend to go back into their corner, start making a list too, because they want to push back on some of this. And in order to keep it from being a tug of war or tit for tat, we do have to be careful in how we have the conversation. And that's why I'm talking about not only the hows and the whens and the wheres, but back to where you have a conversation, like have it when the two of you can be uninterrupted, when it's a situation that the surrounding, let's say your time frame, it's when you're both rested enough that you can talk to each other and focus on each other. If you've just come from something that's really stressful, a totally different topic, and then launch into this conversation, then you may bring some of that baggage to this. And remember, this subject is already front-loaded enough that it's going to make people nervous. So we're just trying to clear away all of that stuff and really be on topic. Now, you may be nervous talking about it yourself because it may not be something you're used to doing, that is bringing your concerns to the table and want to discuss it. But sex, which affects both of you, and you both want to have a good sexual relationship, then you have to get comfortable. You're going to have to get over the anxiety about having this and worrying too much about the outcome. Now, I know I've said a lot of things that I want you to be mindful of, but don't worry too much about it. You do have to get in the conversation, and you can fix it as you go along. So now, to the person who's a listener in this conversation, your partner is bringing these concerns to you. And for what it's worth, here's something about what I call when you're dealing with disagreements. Let the person share their feelings and what's going on. And just because they say it, and realize it's their feelings, they own them, but just because they say it doesn't make it true. And when we're having these conversations, like I said, it's a two-way street. So let them share their feelings. I would say take notes so that you can get clarification on things that you might not understand. Because you can even be there, but it's they see it one way and you see it the other. And this kind of thing can happen a lot. So you write things down so that you can keep track of the things that you want to ask questions about and revisit them. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to come back and expand on this some more. Stay tuned.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. The guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Hello and welcome back to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. This is the sex edition, and I'm talking about sex conversations. So picking up on the idea about writing things down so you can revisit them, and that's just a way of keeping track of the conversation and where it's going. One of the things I think we fear is that if we don't mention it, meaning you're the person who's been told that, hey, you know, we want to work on such and such a things. If you don't come back with a response to it, it's almost as if you're denying that that there's a concern there that your partner has. So it's not so much the forgetfulness, but sometimes you can become overwhelmed with the topic. If we're just freewheeling and just talking about things off the top of our head, that's one thing, because that's just conversational. We're just moving along. But when we're problem solving or want to deal with something, then we really have to take these things on one at a time. You know, circle it, draw a line around it, whatever, under it, or whatever it takes to remember to focus on that. So as a listener, remember, you're taking notes almost as if you're in the classroom and listening to the instructor write things on the chalkboard or whiteboard or whichever the media that they use these days. And there's various ones. And, you know, I might add, in the idea that this is always bad news, it's not. It's you have to create some sort of way in which you can communicate with your significant other. And I think face-to-face, the direct conversation is the best way to do it. I wouldn't do it necessarily through text messages or emails or things like that, because sometimes those come off as so impersonal and it's easy to misinterpret. Because if you're the person who's reading this and you have a certain voice in your head because of whatever's gone on and you read this message, it might take on the tone of something that's unintended. And I think face-to-face is best. If not that, then the next best thing is to have a verbal conversation, because it's about hearing the voice. The face-to-face thing gives you the opportunity to look in the eye, see the body language, and read what's going on from both perspectives, that of the listener and that of the speaker. It's all about communication, because there are so many parts to communication that it goes wrong, and I'm trying to help you avoid that. So here's another thing. When you're talking about sex, and here's an interesting irony. You don't want to talk about the problems in the bedroom, meaning you don't want, that's not your stage for having the heavy discussion about it when it's not going well, because that sets itself up to being now, from now on, when we are in this place, this is where I got the bad news. And that really makes people very uncomfortable. And I don't care who you are, if you're the guy or the lady, because when news is delivered, and if it's done in a way, like I said, if it's bad news, or not good news, not compliments. Now, if there's compliments, oh, you know, you can give those anytime and anywhere because people like those. But when it's the conversation that about, well, we need to change this aspect, having that in the bedroom when we're having sex or that bad, bad choice. Because in moments like that, it's going to come off as if you are an opportunist and you took advantage of that moment, that vulnerability to tell me something that would have best been left to have said at a different time when I had my clothes on, when I had some sort of shield, some sort of protection, at least hiding my vulnerability. Now, if you were having sex and something's not working right, okay, it's good to, we can call a timeout. Okay, that's different. But I'm making the distinction here. We're not having sex at this conversation. We are bringing conversations about sex into existence so that we can solve it, so that we don't have problems when during the sessions when you're lovemaking. Now, for people who have been in relationships a long time, you pretty much know your partner. You know a lot of their moods. You know when there's a better time to have conversations of this nature as opposed to when they're busy or distracted or something like that, because that doesn't work for either one of you. Because if you're trying to bring up a topic like this and you want their undivided attention, if they're at a moment when they're really distracted about something else that's going on, you're going to feel dejected, you're going to feel deflated, and you're not going to want to have this conversation. And this thing is going to linger on and it's going to languish. And there's obviously going to be a result. There's going to be less activity in the bedroom. There's, you know, the kind of things that happen when problems don't get solved that sort of has the appearance of being swept under the rug, you know, that kind of feeling. And that builds resentment and there's anxiety around that. Your partner can sense that. So like I said, you know your partner well enough to know the better times to have these kinds of conversations. Now, if this is a new relationship, it takes a little more doing. You might not know all of the mood swings and things that people have, and they might be a bit difficult to read. So I say in cases like that, you let your partner know that you want to have the conversation. I mean, as anyone would, but you let your partner know you want to have the conversation and maybe let them pick the time that they would feel most comfortable doing it. Mentioning, like I said before, there are places not to do it. You want to do it where you can have the undivided attention of your partner, where it's private, it's one-on-one, that you don't have the kids around because there might be the subject. You might feel a little inhibited about saying certain words. So these are just general guidelines in how to have a conversation about a really sensitive subject. And I ask that when people are having these conversations, they realize this isn't about demeaning your partner. This isn't about bringing out all the list of gripes so that you can mentally just mess with their heads, because it's sensitive stuff. And we all want to feel like we are doing right by our lover. And if we're not, and this conversation is one of those where you're delivering the, you know, say the speech, the heavy news, then it's going to take a little time to absorb what's being said and start making the changes that'll make it better. So if you're the person that's delivering the news, think about how you're saying it to your partner. Don't be angry in your tone, because that's going to send the wrong message. It's going to seem as though you don't care about the other person's feelings and the fact that they realize that they have let you down in some way, shape, or form. And many people feel ashamed when they do that. They don't want to let their partner down. So think about that your lover, your partner has compassion for you. That's why they want to be in that conversation, why they want to make a difference and have your happiness be as important as their own. And I see this in no more than in lovemaking, because it's your partner who you're making love to, and it's supposed to mean something to them as much as yourself. I think one other thing I want to bring up about this topic is it's a great way to rebuild trust. The experience of talking about sensitive things, because, you know, we can talk about the weather and a dozen other things, and those simply scratch the surface of our existence. But something as meat and bones as how we interact, how we make love to each other, is vitally important. And the fact that you want to have the conversation also says a lot about both of you. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that after this break.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Back to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast, the Sex Edition. Now, I'm talking about sex conversations. Now, as I left off in the last segment, I was talking about the idea of when you're bringing these conversations forward, how important that is, the significance of that, that your partner actually wants to talk to you. Some people are not very comfortable with bringing up much in the way of the real important stuff, and it's something that they have to learn to do. And as I was speaking about, if you are new at this, then I applaud you for wanting to bring it forward. Know what your needs are, because bottom line, in these conversations, that's ultimately what you're going to be trying to convey, what your need is. And if you need a little help with that, then say that that's also something that's going on for you. If you're a little confused about how things are supposed to work for you, hey, we don't know the answers to everything, but it's just the idea that we're bringing this up and that you want your help from your partner as much as you reasonably can. And, you know, allow them to be part of the solution. I think what happens a lot of times is when we have the problems, we start dictating. We start telling people what they have to do and how they have to do it. And that could feel a little imposing. In fact, it even sounds so dictatorial. You get people that won't even do the buy-in on that. They'll just sort of tune out. Now, it being a lover, yeah, they might try this, but it's about how you message the problem and the solution. If what you're struggling with is how to solve the problem, then it's great to ask your partner. They may have some ideas. It might be something you can both do some research on together. It's a great project for the both of you because it affects both of you. And given that you're going to have the outcome and you're going to know right away how this is working for you. Something else to think about is when you practice this, because I say this is one of those subjects that has a lot going on. And it may be your first time through because this is the one thing that has got your attention and you're trying this out. So if you're not great at having these kinds of conversations, just know that these things get better with time. It doesn't have to be perfect. And that's the one thing I want to definitely say to people who are trying to problem solve. I know we want to do it like we see Dr. Phil or these psychology shows where people just get the right answers all the time and they just plow through it and they've got it. Well, those are trained professionals. They've studied their craft and they've been doing it a long time. And borrowing some of their techniques, as long as you're doing it with the idea that you want to communicate, not that you want to dominate somebody, because that's schoolyard stuff. Remember to think about it from the perspective that your partner is somebody who's on your side. They are not your enemy. And I want you to say that every 5 minutes. You are not my enemy. And that is so important because when we get into some of these subjects, we could be so passionate about it. And there might be some old baggage that talking about this stuff brings up. And think about that, because when you're problem solving, from the idea that you want to communicate something, if you have been experiencing this, say, for a long time, probably longer than you've been in the relationship with your partner, a lot of that stuff may come flying forward and it just may come out all at this one time. And your partner really shouldn't be the target of all of that. Think about how long you've been in the relationship and what you're working on. So it's important not to bring in old baggage or the weight of all of that old stuff into the conversation. If you've only been together for, 6 months to a year, don't bring 10 years worth of your baggage into this, and vice versa. If you're somebody who's listening to this and maybe you have experienced something, maybe there's something about this conversation that could be a little bit familiar to you. Now, this is more the psychology thing that's happening when, let's say, a new partner brings up something that you might have heard from one of your other partners, somebody who was in your life before. That might be telling you something, that you're still carrying some stuff that probably should be dealt with. So that's just a secret message to you. And I say that because sometimes that happens for people too. It's like there's this deja vu moment in their life. Wait a minute, I thought I've heard this before. Yeah, you probably have. So deal with it. Here's another opportunity to deal with, and you have somebody in your life that loves you, and take it on. And you can get a lot of mileage out of that. I think it'll help you for your future. Now, something I like to do when we've taken on a subject like that might be fairly heavy is, remember I said, you are not my enemy. You say that, and then you punctuate that with saying, well, I'm glad we've had the conversation. We can kind of let some of this stuff rest. You can't solve all the problems right away. Remember, that's why we're writing some things down, because maybe we need to take a break, because some of this stuff can get pretty emotional. It can get pretty heated. Or as in the case of if you're talking about sex, some of the things might even be a little embarrassing to talk about, or at least if you are the person on the receiving end and realize that you're not living up to some expectations, I say that in a way, in a real tender way, then there's a little bit of shame and embarrassment that could be going on. And I would ask that your partner respect that and recognize that, remember, we're not here to make you unhappy. We are here to try to be part of the solution. So appreciate the fact that we want to be here, and don't make shame part of one of your tools in the arsenal. Some people do that a lot. They try to use shame to motivate people, and I don't think it works. Shame and guilt, those are bad choices. And I say the word bad, emphasis a capital B. Those are bad choices. Shame and guilt are utilized a lot. And it's usually a last resort, because people that use those as their tool generally feel like they're out of options. And I, as a person who believes in fair communication, if you're using shame and guilt, then you're going to have to dig a little deeper and think about why you have resorted to the last two things. It might have been something that's done to you, and you might think that that's something that motivates. It doesn't. It certainly spotlights a problem, and it's probably yours, your perception of it, and how you communicate with people. But shame and guilt is not a good tool. It's manipulative, and some people like it, but I don't believe in doing that. And here's why. Because the residual effect is, from a lot of people's perspective, is it leaves them with the feeling of, I'm a bad person. And how do you enroll somebody in your idea if you're telling them that they're a bad person? I mean, you could say, well, if you do my idea, you're going to be a better person. Yeah, a lot of salespeople can say that my way is the solution. Well, guess what happens when people find out that there are other ways to do this? Not just your way, but other ways that are even better and more fair. Because sometimes in doing the guilt thing, you're putting the burden on another person when that might not be the fair thing to do. And who's to say that you're the judge of that? If you negotiate something, that's much better than the other thing. Okay, so I've beat that. Remember, don't use shame and guilt, because we're already vulnerable enough. And generally people tend to go into their corner and hide and really feel bad about themselves. And they are not necessarily going to feel good about you for doing it that way to them, because they're going to now feel like they've been victimized. But back to the point of celebrating the victory, celebrating the coming together, the conversation, and that we want this to get better. And I believe a good old hug and a kiss and making up and holding hands and going out and doing something special for each other should happen after you've had vulnerable conversations like this, because it's part of the reunification. Because when you're having conversations like this, usually there is that divide. There's you, there's that person. And the constant checking in with each other sort of helps bridge some of those places where, you know, you're on one side and they're on the other. But in the end, we want to help close it. We don't want to leave someone open, exposed, feeling wounded. And like I said, getting together at the end, going out and celebrate, whether it's going out for a dinner, going out for a soda, milkshake, take a walk, bike ride, something that brings the two of you together. That's the best way to have closure after a conversation like this. Because you know that when they feel like we are still together, then it encourages the idea that we can have conversations like this and still be together. See? So it's important that you pick a time so that you can focus on this. And in the end, when you're winding it down, making closure, remember, that's all part of your time in being together. And it works. I'm John Johnson. This is the conversation about how to be in communication with your partner about these real sensitive things. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sex Podcast, part of the GSMC Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, or anywhere you find podcasts. Just type in GSMC to find all of our shows from the GSMC Podcast Network. From sex and relationships to health and wellness, life and happiness, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's episode of the Golden State Media Concepts Sex Podcast.